in a place of peace and fellowship as we have together this morning. We're so glad to have you here and so pleased to have our visitors among us and with us and worshiping alongside us. We must always remember at this time or any time that what matters most is our relationship to the Father in heaven, our allegiance to Him above all else, and our longing for heaven much more than longing for a better life here. Again, thank you for being here this morning. We're considering this morning a strange proposition, a matter of a bit of imagination, a world without God. And of course, a world without God is impossible, because without God, there would be no world. The Bible speaks of God at the very beginning. In fact, the fourth word in our English Bibles is the word God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you flip all the way to the end of the Bible, the last revelation in the 22nd chapter, and come Lord Jesus, described as the great I Am in Exodus chapter 3, or the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, that which was and which is to come in Revelation chapter 1. God is the great source behind everything else, behind all of us. As the text we just read together from Acts 17 tells us, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. And so, yes, if there were no God, there would be no world. And that's why we have to use just a bit of imagination. Imagine that somehow, by some means, in some way, the universe exists without God's having created it. That this planet exists without God creating it. That life emerged on its own by itself with God having nothing to do with it. And that here we are, all this time later, as sentient, thinking, conscious beings with God nowhere near the picture. And thus we have a universe, we have a planet, we have life, we have ourselves, and yet we have no God. I told you had to use your imagination, because the first thing a lot of us have to do is push back upon the concept, upon the basis for that question of what a world would look like without God, because, as I say, without God there is no world. But it's a question that needs to be answered, and not just asked, because we live right now in a world amongst a culture that pretends as if God does not exist, that orders its life, it makes its decisions, that charts its direction for life and living, as if God were not in existence, as if there were no God. And so really, if you have to ask the question, what does a world look like without God, just take a look at a lot of the world right now. And you have a world pretending that there is no God. And the same things are true in both cases, of a true world where God does not exist, and a world that pretends that God does not exist, the outcome is much the same. And so what would a world without God even look like? Well, first of all, we'd still have the questions that we have, but we wouldn't have any answers. We'd have a mind full of unanswered questions. The most basic of questions, such as, where did we come from? Where did things come from? What is our purpose here? Why are we even alive? Is there a purpose to life? And is there anything past death itself? Does consciousness continue? Those are just three of a myriad of unanswered questions in the absence of God. And I'm not suggesting that even with God and with His Word as believed as true among us, that every question we might entertain in our minds is answered. There are still things God knows that we don't. Things we might want to know that God hasn't shared with us. As Deuteronomy 29 and 29 reminds us, what was true then is true now. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Those things revealed, either for their time or for our time. Those things revealed belong unto us, to our children. Yes, there are curiosities we have, even with God having spoken to us. But the most pressing questions about life itself, the most weighty and monumental questions, without God, we have no real answer to. Where did we come from? Where did stuff come from? I saw something interesting just a day or two ago. They're always expanding our understanding of the dimensions of the known universe. And it's stars, the last time I saw, around 10 to the 16th, 17th power, number beyond which we have no ability to even imagine or grasp, more than the sand on the seashores. But then I read that we just found out. How we find these things out, I don't know. Who finds them out, I'm not sure. Whether it's even right or not, I don't have any idea. But I read that the known universe is about 250 times larger than we thought it was. Well, that's a big jump all of a sudden from everything we thought, the biggest thing we imagined, all the stars we've counted, and then times 250 to that. And you hang on and live long enough, I'm sure they'll expand that a little more than that as time goes forward. But as a questioning person, if you have any curiosity at all, you have to wonder, where'd all this come from? And scientists have placed billions upon billions upon billions of years together to where you basically say, well, it doesn't matter where it came from, all this time will bring it about. But cut to the chase and go to the very beginning and ask yourself the question, okay, there's no God. That's in the equation of our imagination for the moment. There is no God. Then how many billions of years, they say, even accepting their years, their numbers as fact, even seeding that for the moment, still there had to be some beginning. And you're left with the nonsensical idea either that stuff has always been here, that the universe is eternal in itself, which is impossible to imagine, or that somehow the universe with all of its stars and planets and systems and black holes, perhaps matter and antimatter, including us, that all of this popped out of nothingness, that there was a time, an expanse, when time didn't exist, when there was absolutely the blackless nothingness of absence, a void, and yet somehow by some means, without any understanding on our part as to why or when or whither, from nothing came everything. And that makes no sense either. And so we are grappling with the answer to that question. And when you take God out of the equation altogether, all you're left with is strange and wild assumptions as to what may. And just as we expanded the years to billions upon billions. Now, because that's not enough, they've expanded the idea of universe to a multiverse of infinite number of universes to cloud the issue that still brings an unanswered question, and that is, where did that come from? Where does it all come from? God says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that he commanded and it stood fast. He spoke and it was done. Everything was made by the breath of his voice. But without God, we don't know where things came from. Much less why we're here. I mean, we must serve some purpose. There must be some rhyme or reason for our existence. You'd hate to think that that somehow, in some way, life emerged from lifeless matter, that itself emerged from nothingness for no reason. You'd like to think that as this life evolved, as they say, into those like ourselves who have the ability to reason and think and ponder and consider and imagine questions like this one, that would have some purpose for it all. There's some reason for us to be here. But yet without God, we have no beginning of an answer to that question. Why are we here? Well, of course, the Bible says that we're made to fear, respect God, and to keep his commandments. In the last of Ecclesiastes, that's true. But without that answer, there is no answer. And then the question, what happens next? I mean, we see life around us and it is born and it lives its lifetime, short or long. Whether a fruit fly or a whale or an elephant, it lives a lifetime. And then that life is over. The body goes back to the elements. And for those of us who have the ability to reason and think and consider and imagine, is there anything past that, or is that the end of existence for us? Well, the Bible tells us that the body without the spirit is dead, but the spirit is not. It goes back to God who gave it. But without God, we're left to grapple with that unanswered question, what happens next? What happens after we die? And as I say, those are just three questions among many others. But without God, there is no sufficient, reasonable answer to them. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? If there is no God, we can't answer questions like these. If we live in a world without God, we have no rationale for deciding what's right and what's wrong. None. It's survival of the fittest, or the fastest, or the smartest, or the strongest. After all, when you think of matters like right and wrong and large looming areas of that, like when is it right to take a life? Is it ever right to take a life? We've struggled with matters like capital punishment or abortion, taking life in the womb. You can't deal with questions like that and grapple with situations dealing with those matters in the absence of God and what God has said. Otherwise, you're just left with a fungible idea of right and wrong, which changes with each generation, and you're never quite sure where you stand, what right is, what wrong is. In fact, after a while, wouldn't you start confusing the two? Without God, wouldn't you start seeing wrong things as right and right things as wrong? And you might be thinking, And I would agree with you in this thought. You might be thinking, that sounds a lot like the world we're living in right now, when things that are right are portrayed as wrong, and things that are absolutely wrong are celebrated as right. But again, a world without God is the same as a world that acts as if there is no God with respect to what happens to people and their decisions and their direction. Yes, we know right and wrong because God has spoken to us about that. He's made some things very crystal clear. Though we don't live under the Ten Commandments that those in the Old Testament under that law lived, God's people of Israel, still of those Ten Commandments, you take away the Sabbath day observance and all of the other nine are restated in one way or another in the New Testament for all of us. These are universal principles which are right in themselves and state some matters of wrong in themselves. But without what God has said, how do you know what's right and what's wrong? I come over to your house and you're not there. And I break into your house when you're not there. And I take some of your stuff when you're not there. And I take it home with me. And your camera shows that I came in. You can do that now. You said, Brother Key, you broke into my house. And I said, well, yeah, I did. And you did it when I wasn't even there. Well, yeah, you wouldn't have let me take the stuff if you had been there. And you took my stuff and you took it back home with you. Yes, I did. And you say, Brother Keith, that's wrong. I say, now we're playing this imagination game. There is no God. So why is that wrong? Well, because it is. Well, when one dog takes another bone from another dog, that's not wrong. That's just the way dogs behave. And if I'm just an evolved dog, you know, I was pretty smart in making sure you weren't home. I should have disabled your camera. But I did what people do. What's wrong about that? And you say, well, we've decided as a civilization that that's wrong. Well, who says that's right to make a decision like that? Because another civilization can make a different decision on that. What if we vote differently? What if the polls show that most people believe it's right to break into somebody else's home? Does that make that wrong thing right? Well, if there is no God, it does. Because without God, there is no rationale that makes sense for determining right and wrong behavior. Animals take and they steal. And yes, animals rape. It's part of how animals live. And we say, well, they're just animals. Well, without God, aren't we just the same? Without God, is there any difference in the animal kingdom and humans? Aren't we just an elevated, evolved animal if there is no God? The whole concept of rightness or wrongness, and especially the definition of rightness and wrongness, and most especially the consequences of rightness over wrongness, are only understood when we realize there is a God. He has spoken, and we are subject to what He has dictated. Without God, though, there is no idea of knowing what's right and what's wrong. But one last this morning. In a world without God, we have a struggle with what place we're in. We like to think that with God out of the picture, now we are the apex, we are the alpha, we are the top of the food chain, as it were, of all of... But then we think about that for just a moment, we realize, well, that And so there must be some aliens out there that are more advanced than we are. Maybe there's some robot species out there that knows more than we do. We can hardly imagine that somehow in the broad expanse of a seemingless infinite universe that we are the be-all and end-all of intelligence. We sometimes act like that. We sometimes talk like that. But in our mind of minds, we know better than that. And so there is this yearning, this grasping. The text we just read talks about this groping after God. There's this intrinsic sense within us that tells us, no, we can't be the top of all life. We can't be the most intelligent of any life. There must be something above us, something beyond us, something more powerful than we are. And so we search after, we grow after. The Athenians did. They were wrong in their religion, but at least they're right to be religious. They're wrong in not understanding the one true God that Paul was presenting to them, but at least they were searching, groping for the concept of something beyond themselves. That's why, as some scholars have said, there were more gods worshipped in Athens than there were men to worship the gods. Because, you see, even when we say, as a culture today, so enthralled with agnosticism and in some cases embroiled with atheism, we still, when all is said and done, have to say, this can't be all there is. We can't be all there is. There must be something. And so still even we do. In scientific ways we think. In more philosophical and logical reasons and ways we like to think. We still imagine things beyond us, because we can't imagine us being all there is. And we aren't. Because, again, God tells us we have been made by Him. As the psalmist will say in Psalm 139 and verse 14, I will praise you, speaking to God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. Yeah, we know it. When all is said and done, we know that there can't be a world without God. It's time we stopped acting like it. We know we can't live in a universe where God doesn't exist, because He made it. He made us. It's about time we started living like what we know. There is a God in heaven, as Daniel said. And only a fool would say there is no God. It's one thing to believe in God. It's something else to submit to Him. And I hope this morning that we all have. But if you're here this morning and not a Christian, it's time to submit to God. He does exist. He expects things of you. He gave His Son to die for you. Have you ever had your sins washed away by His Son's blood? Or perhaps that's happened for you, but you walked away. You need to come back. God's still there. If you need to come, come now, as together we stand and sing.